Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, where we read as follows, in the name of Jesus. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. I've lived in northwestern Minnesota and North Dakota, and I have lived in southeast Wisconsin. They say that up here there are two churches for every tavern, while down there there are two taverns for every church. I suspect, though, that the taverns up here are fuller on a Saturday evening than are the churches on a Sunday morning. People generally prefer distilled spirits to the Holy Spirit. Looking for comfort, strength, courage, or whatever out of a bottle may be a search in vain, but it doesn't require you to do anything. And this is why folks prefer to get drunk on Saturday evening than to go to church on Sunday morning. Of course, it doesn't help when the churches are led by preachers whose doctrine changes with every fashionable wind. As soon as the social scientists amend the standards of human conduct, the clergy are quick to fall in line. Once upon a time, it was shameful for a woman to preach. Today, it is shameful to deny the pulpit to women. Homosexuality used to be a sinful perversion of God's created order. Today, the sin isn't homosexuality, it's homophobia, as if it is sinful to agree with God when he condemns sin. Those who barter away the divine truth to remain in fashion will always appeal to the love of Jesus. But love has no real meaning anymore. It's just another word for excusing sin. When there is no law to condemn us, there is no need for a gospel of the forgiveness of sins. Jesus himself becomes irrelevant, regardless of how often his name is invoked. So why go to church? I'll tell you why. The church is the door to heaven. It has wealth beyond all human measurement. Now, I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about an institution with rules and regulations and hierarchy. I'm talking about where Christ comes to be with his bride, where the church has kept the treasure her Lord gave her, where God's law is still preached without compromise, condemning us for our sins, where the pure gospel of the forgiveness of sins for Christ's sake is proclaimed to real sinners, guilty of real sins, where the sacraments of Christ are administered as Christ instituted them. There, God blesses us with the riches of heaven. He joins us where we live. He draws us into communion with himself. He rejoices with his people. They rejoice with him. Heaven and earth are reconciled. And we find our little bit of heaven right here on earth. But these treasures are so tragically despised. Jesus told a parable about the wedding feast of a king's son in order to address the Jews of his day who despised the gospel that he came to preach. For the most part, the heirs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob rejected their inheritance when it was given to them. And so Gentiles were invited into the church, but many of them who came heard the gospel, rejected it, but they kind of still hung around. In Christ's parable, they're represented by that man who goes into the wedding hall without wearing the wedding garment. These are people who think they're good enough to meet God just as they are. They don't need the righteousness of Christ. They depend on their own virtue instead of God's grace. The church can be viewed according to what she receives, and the church can be viewed according to what she does. Now, when you view the church according to what she receives, you see the church invited to a banquet, eating a wonderful meal. She doesn't bring her own bag lunch, her own stuff. No, she comes to be served by Jesus Christ himself, who said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." If Jesus doesn't serve you, you don't belong to him. That's what Jesus said to Peter when Peter initially didn't want Jesus to wash his feet. Christ not only saves his church by dying for her, shedding his blood for her, but he serves his church by giving to her the treasures of heaven, and he does this by means of his holy gospel, in which there is nothing but divine mercy and forgiveness. Everything Jesus earned for us by his holy living and his suffering and death, he gives to us when we hear his gospel. When we eat and drink his body and blood given and shed for us. So the church can be viewed according to what she receives. And the text that I read to you a little earlier here, it describes the same church according to what she does. When Christians gather together as the church, they sing and make melody in their hearts to the Lord. They sing to God. They worship him. They give thanks to him. And they also sing to one another. According to St. Paul, they are speaking, I'm quoting here, to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We sing our faith, our confession. We say to each other what it is that we believe. Faith makes us Christians, and confessing the faith marks us as Christians, so we gather together to confess the same thing together, and we do so in song. The greatest hymns the church has ever produced are the hymns that teach us the faith that we confess together. The apostle says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Worship is not a matter of letting it all hang out. It is not giving vent to whatever we feel inside. No, Christian worship entails self-discipline. St. Paul presents a clear contrast between getting drunk, where we lose control, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. He comforts us. He consoles us. He is our advocate, and he's not the spirit of unbridled emotional exuberance. He is the spirit of truth, and he teaches us the truth. Among the very best hymns that the church has ever produced are those written during the Reformation of the 16th century. The gospel, the pure gospel of the free forgiveness of sins for Christ's sake, had been buried underneath a whole lot of unbiblical tradition. And the worship of the people had been limited, basically, to observing as the priests sang the liturgy in a language that the people didn't understand. Luther not only translated the liturgy from the Latin into German, he also wrote many hymns, good Christian gospel-centered hymns that proclaimed the pure gospel. True worship isn't a spectator sport. It involves the entire person. We hear God's word. We take it to heart. We respond to it. We confess in song to one another that same saving gospel that we believe. The church sings the Psalms. Now, many churches have lost the custom of singing the Psalms in our day, and that's too bad because the Psaltery was the hymnal of the Old Testament church, and the Psalms are hymns that were written to be sung. St. Paul also mentions that the church sings hymns and spiritual songs. Now, this shouldn't be confused with the modern genre of music known as spirituals. Such music didn't exist in St. Paul's day. The apostle is rather referring to hymns and songs that build us up spiritually by teaching us the faith. So when we sing we build one another up. We share the faith with one another by means of music, and we confess our faith to our God in the same way. The thanksgiving that is offered in the name of the Lord Jesus, because it is in his name that we are children of God. In our generation, worship wars have erupted in many churches across America. Pop songs with religious lyrics are offered in the place of traditional hymns of the church, and perhaps much of the debate is a debate about style. I don't think that we can prove that God prefers the rhythmic chorale of historic Lutheranism to the isometric tunes more popular in America. But the Word of God is not silent on the topic of worship. The Bible teaches us that worship is not an unthinking and purely emotional kind of expression. St. Paul writes in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The reason it's a sin to get drunk, whether with wine, as our text says, or with beer, whiskey, or any other intoxicant, is the same reason it's a sin to get stoned on marijuana or speed or any other drug. We are to love God with our heart, soul, and mind. We don't learn God's will for us by losing our minds or losing control, but in being transformed by God. Spiritual enlightenment is a wonderful work. It is God's work, and it takes place within the minds of his people. The choice is not between getting high on alcohol or drugs and getting high on Jesus. It is between living in conformity with the evil in our world and living as Christians. And we go to church because we cannot live the Christian life without the Christian faith. We need the gospel. Our faith depends on it. We need to confess our sins to God. They've captured our affections, and we cannot set ourselves free. We need to hear the gospel. We need to hear that we are forgiven of all our sins by the blood of Jesus, and so are set free. Just as surely as God gives to his people the body and the blood of Jesus to eat and to drink in the Lord's Supper, so he forgives us all our sins for Christ's sake, because the church is the bride of Christ. We are holy because we are covered by the righteousness, the holiness of the bridegroom. Now, our hearts will deny this. The world will scoff at it. The devil will rail against it and slander those who preach it and confess it. But it is our greatest joy, and it's what we sing. What we sing teaches us that heavenly doctrine that will be God's power to save. We also go to church because we need one another. We don't live independently of one another. Faith may be personal, but it isn't private. When we gather together, confessing the same faith, confessing it together, singing it together, God binds us together and builds us up as his church. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us. Please join us at one of the congregations of our parish. First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, Sunday morning at 9:30. And First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, Sunday morning at 11:30. Please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.